This week's parsha is Parshas Shelach, and we all know this week is Shabbos Mevorchim. Shabbos Mevorchim, Chodesh Tammuz. We're coming now to the 3 weeks. Okay, Shabbos Mevorchim, Chodesh Tammuz. Let's begin with an idea. This idea, I came to this idea from our shiur last night. Last night we were learning about davening tefillah. We're learning about Baruch She'amar. Let me get a sitter. One moment. Right here is a sitter. Baruch She'amar. Baruch She'amar. We have a minug. We have a minug when we say Baruch She'amar to hold in front of us tzitzis. Everyone knows this. We begin the Baruch She'amar. That is the minig to hold in front of us the two tzitzis from our talis, or talis katan, when we say Baruch She'amar. And when we finish the Baruch She'amar, when we conclude the bracha, what do? We kiss the tzitzis. Right?
No more.
What do you mean no more?
No more.
Oh, you don't kiss. Okay. Good point. It's true. You're saying something very good. Okay, do you have to actually kiss the tzitzis? You're right. It's a good point. But at least you hold the tzitzis. Okay? There is definitely a minig that when you recite the bracha, Baruch She'amar, you hold in front of you the tzitzis. Why? Why do you do that? What's the reason why you hold in front of you the tzitzis when you recite this bracha? So the truth is, it's not known. It says I looked into it, it says it's al pi Kabbalah. It's something very mystical. And I could not find an answer that's down to it. Maybe here someone knows an answer, a simple answer, why you hold in front of you the tzitzis. It's not so simple. Why should that be the requirement? Why should that be the case? It says, the best that I found was Al-Pi Kabbalah. There are a lot of mystical things that we do during davening, and we don't necessarily know the reason for everything. Okay, let's put that question on this. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because in Parashat Shelach, is the mitzvah of tzitzis. The end of Shelach, we read about the parasha of tzitzis. That's a very important theme of parasha Shelach. Let's look at the words of Baruch She'amar. In the beginning of Baruch She'amar, before we start the real Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, we read the words, Baruch Oiseh Vereishis, Baruch Goizer Umekayim. Let me actually get a Nusach Ashkenaz Siddur. I have a Nusach Sfarad Siddur. I want to use this Ashkenaz Siddur. Okay, I'm used to Ashkenaz. Okay, I get a little confused with Nusach Sfarad. Nusach Ashkenaz, what do we say? We say Baruch, because it's reversed. The reason why I want to get out, because this expression, in fact, is reversed in Nusach Sfarad versus Nusach Ashkenaz. Baruch Oimer V'Oiseh, Baruch Goizer U'Mikayim. Everyone knows these words. These are from the opening words of Baruch She'amar. Why do we say these words? What's this all about? So there's a very important Yisoid. I saw this in two svarim, one from Rav David Cohn. Rav David Cohn, the Rav over here on Coney Island Avenue, Gvul Yavetz, Goin Shebegoinim, doesn't need my introduction. He knows everything, literally. And he has, I think, 11 svarim on tefillah called Masas Kapai. And he explains this idea. It's not only his idea. Everyone explains it a little bit differently. But basically, this is a chazal gemara mesech de brachas. The gemara brachas says as follows: Darash Rav Hamnuna. I apologize. I don't have the daf here in front of me, but I copied and pasted the text of the gemara. Darash Rav Hamnuna haroye bavel harisha'a. If a person goes to Iraq today, get on a plane, you go to Iraq, and you go there. If you go to Iraq, you have to make, can you imagine? You can make 5 brachas. On sushi, you only can make 4 brachas. You make a mezoinus on the rice, a boyer pure eats on the avocado, a bari pri adama on the cucumber, a shahakal on the fish and the seaweed. It's the best food in the world, sushi. You can make 4 brachas. But if you go to Iraq, you can make 5 brachas. What can be better than eating sushi? Going to Iraq. You can make 5, you go to see Babel. Now, Babel is a cursed land. We should never forget that. Babel is a cursed land because the Babylonians destroyed the Bayis Rishon. And it's clear as day in the Gemara. The Gemara says this nation, for us to appreciate what we had, it's impossible. We had a Beis HaMikdash, a makam of the Hashras HaShchina, permanent resting place for Hashem's divine presence. And this evil nation to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, their wickedness is beyond description. And as a punishment for what they have done to us, Hashem cursed this country and cursed the earth of the people that were raised in this country who came to destroy us. And you know, by extension, many, this is a very solid argument to never go back to Germany, to never go back to Poland, to never go back to the Ukraine, because these people, they killed us, they murdered us, they wiped out 6 million people. These are cursed people. And why would you want to go back and stand on the soil of a country that is cursed? And you'll say, they're not cursed? Well, why are they any different than Babel? Babel destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and look what the Gemara says, Darash Rav Hamnu, Naharoye Babel B'Arashah, Babel, the evil empire, Tzarech Levarech Chamesh Brachas. Now what do you, what bracha? Ra Babel, when you just land in the airport, and you see Babel from a distance, Oymer Baruch, Shecheriv Babel HaRashah. Blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has destroyed Babel, the evil nation. And this, the Gemara seems to say, make with the bracha, this was Hashem Malchus. Baruch Atah Hashem, the Gemara is just being Makatzer. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shehecheriv, Babel HaRishaah. Roha Beisoy Shel Nevuchadnezzar, if you know where it is, Oymer, you say, Baruch Shehecheriv, Beisoy Shel Nevuchadnezzar, HaRosha. Roha goiv shel aroyoi. So if you come to the place, the lion's den, oikivshan oesh, or the furnace where Hananiah, Mishol v'Azariah, or Daniel, the Hananiah, Mishol v'Azariah were put into a goiv shel aroyos, and Daniel was thrown to the kivshan oesh. If you come to these locations, I mean, you say baruch she'os nisim la'avosenu b'mokayim hazeh. Roha markoilis. If you go to the place, the idol of Babel was Markoilus, a special idol where they would erect 2 vertical stones, and they would, on top there would be a horizontal stone, and they would throw little stones. If you go, you can find the place Markoilus, the place, the center church of Markoilus. You make a bracha, Baruch Shenasan Erech Apayim Le'ovrei Ritzoinai. Okay, so that's 4 brachas so far. You have to know where these places are. Today, it's not likely we can define where the palace is, where the Goyv Shel Aroyos is, where the Kivshan is, where Markoilus is. These places have long been destroyed, so it's not likely today we are able to make these brachas. Can you make the bracha when you come to Babel if you arrive in the airport? If you arrive, I don't advise it, of course, but a person goes there undercover into Iraq and you arrive in the airport, can you make the bracha, Baruch Shehechev is Babel HaRishah? Maybe. Why not? Why can't you make it? You notice, that no matter what America tries to do, no matter how much money, trillions of dollars they pump into Babel, nothing works. There's nothing you can do to save these people. This country is a cursed country. The United States went in there, they thought they're going to make a regime change, they're going to set up a law and order, they're going to make peace, they're going to do this, do that. And what have they gotten out? What has the United States gotten out of all their attempt and all of the blood they spilled and the trillions of dollars they invested in order to bring some stability to this nation? 0. They spit back in the face of the United States and said, get lost. We don't want to know from you. We hate you. Get out of here. It's unbelievable. It's not to be believed. United States, they did it with them. Incredible chesed. Even though we all know they did it for their own benefit, in order to stabilize the Middle East, for the oil, for this and for that. But after everything is said and done, the United States and other nations did with Iraq Incredible chesed. Incredible. Incredible. It's not to be believed. Not to be believed. And what do they get back from it? Spit in your face. They spit in your face and say that you get lost. You know why? Because it's a cursed land. The place is nothing but a curse. It's a chazal. It's a gemara. A mesech de brachos. And you know why it's cursed? Because this country is responsible for the Churban Bayis Rishon. And there's nothing you can do in this world to restore, to remove the curse from this cursed country and cursed land. And you're wasting your time by trying to develop the land, trying to cultivate the people, trying to be nice and make peace between the Sunnis and the Shiites. Just a waste of time. Because the Gemara says they're cursed, cursed people. The Zehu.
And yet we have Talmud Bavli with all the Tanoim.
That's for us. That's for us. That's us. That's not them. That's us. We live in Golis. But we're not trying to over here. We're not trying over here to do anything. For, we're doing it for us.
Okay, but they live there.
What?
They were living there for hundreds of years.
So the Jews were living there, but the country, but the Jews are no longer living there. The Jews are no longer living there. They're no longer living there. We weren't living there because we wanted to live there. We were brought there by Melech Ashur. We were brought there. It wasn't our choice to be there. We were captives. Then we were told to leave and we're supposed to leave. Okay, let's put that aside from now. We were in Golis. Let's put that aside from now. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says this. Now, here comes the next part, which is very critical for our discussion. Bracha number five. Bracha number five. A person comes and sees Roha Mokoim Shenoitlin Mimenu Ofer. There was a place in Bavel. Unfortunately, I didn't quote the whole Gemara. I only wrote down here part of the Gemara. There was a place in Bavel that they would take the earth. They would scoop up earth and they would sell it. They would transport it. They would use the earth as a building material for, I don't know, for other countries. If you go to the place where Shenoitlin Mimenu Ofar, they take the earth of Bavel and they put it on a truck and they ship it out of the country for building purposes, you should make a bracha, Baruch Oimer V'Oiseh Goizer U'Mikayim. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Oimer V'Oiseh Goizer U'Mikayim. What does this mean? V'Teteisia B'Matate Hashmed. There's a pasuk in Nach that Hashem says, I'm going to sweep out this country like you take a broom and you sweep out the garbage in the kitchen. Hashem, this was the curse that Hashem uttered against Bavel. I'm going to sweep you out until there's nothing left of you in punishment for destroying the Beis HaMikdash. So the place where this Klola was fulfilled in its most intense form is this location in Bavel where they would dig up the ground and take the earth and ship it out all over the world. And that just left Bavel to be one massive crater because it was they took all the earth from Bavel for other construction purposes throughout the world. It was the fulfillment of the curse of Bavel. It's going to be swept out as if Bavel does not exist. And when you see this makam, in Chazal, in fact, they say there is such a time, the Gemara was a place where a camel or a donkey wouldn't leave without having on its back a sandbag filled with the earth of Bavel. L'kaya ma'ashenemar, the fulfillment of the curse, v'teteisia b'matate hashmet. And what bracha do you make when you see this location? Baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Oimer v'oiseh, Hashem said, he made a statement, v'teteisia b'matate hashmet, goizer mekayim. He's the one who Hashem, who issued this klala and guarantees that the klala is carried out. Guess what? We say this bracha every single day. Every single day we reflect on the curse of Bavel. Now, we don't say it with Shem Malchus because we're living in America. So in America, you don't actually see it. So you can't say it b'shem malchus. But Chazal wanted us every single day to reflect upon the Chorban Beis HaMikdash upon our enemies, Bavel, who destroyed the Bayis Rishon, and when we begin davening, what are we davening for? The purpose of davening is Unishalma Forim Sifaseinu. When we daven, our davening is a replacement, is a substitute, a temporary substitute for bringing korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, the offering of the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim and the burning of the Imurim. So here we go. We're starting to daven. The bracha, the real beginning of davening is where? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hakel Ha'ov HaRachamon. The davening really begins with Psukei Dezimra. Everything until Psukei Dezimra is really just Hachana. You put on your tefillin, you put on your talis, you say Berachas HaShachar, you wash your hands, you put on you say Korbanos. This is not Ikar davening. Davening begins with Psukei Dezimra. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis, that is also not part of Psukei Dezimra. You start Psukei Dezimra with what? Baruch She'amar. But Baruch She'amar doesn't start with Baruch She'amar. It's a bracha. Psukei Dezimra has a bracha lifoneha and a bracha liacharecha. Where does the bracha begin? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hakel Ha'ov Harachamon Hamihulol Befe Amo. So if that's where the Psukei Dezimra starts, why do we say all these other things? Baruch Shamar V'Hayo Olam Baruchu Baruch Sevreish Baruch Obev Yoseh Baruch Gozer Mekayim. What's that doing there? That's not. What is that for? That's the Hakdama. That's the Hakdama. What's the Hakdama? We're now about to begin davening. And davening is to substitute for the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Unishalma farim sifaseinu. So why don't we bring a korban? There's no Beis HaMikdash. Why not? What happened? It was destroyed. Who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? You tell me Titus. You tell me Rome. No, that was the Churban Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni wasn't so ayayay. It wasn't like who destroyed the real Beis HaMikdash, the real Mokam with the Hashoyas Hashchina, the real deal with the Aron HaKodesh. Who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Who took away our ability to really do what we're supposed to do? Beshlemos. Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar. Really? Bavel? They are responsible for us being unable to daven the way we should, ki beisi beis tefila l'chol ha'amim, and to bring the korbanos, and now we have to substitute with tefila, with what we do every single day, because they're responsible. They're a bunch of cursed people. And that's right. Don't forget what they did to you. Don't forget the one that is responsible for not allowing you to daven the way you should in the Beis HaMikdash, ki beisi beis tefila. And really, every single day we should get on a plane and go to Iraq and go find that place where they remove the earth and say, this is a cursed land. And Hashem cursed them. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem punished them by having this country destroyed to the ultimate destruction of Hashem taking up a broom and sweeping out the earth. And when you see this makom, he's supposed to make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Oymer V'Oyseh, Goyzer Mekayim. Hashem said that they should be cursed, and Hashem carried out the curse. He was goyzer, they should be cursed, to Mekayim, he fulfilled the curse. They're sweeping out the land. That's what we should do when we begin the davening. But we can't go to Iraq, so we can't make a bracha of B'Shem Malchus. But at least, let's say the nusach of the bracha, B'loy Shem Malchus, to recognize that when we daven, it's not ideal. We should really be bringing korbanos. We can't because the bayis was destroyed. And the bayis was destroyed by the Babylonians. And Hashem punished the Babylonians. And we acknowledge all that. So we say that. But here's the thing. One more little element. Before you do this, and you say these words, take out your tzitzis and hold them in your hand. Why? Chazal are telling us, don't blame your problems on the world. There's a balance. We get up in front of the United Nations, in front of the Nuremberg trials, we capture Eichmann, we make a lot of noise. We go and we have rallies, we have protests to open up the playgrounds, to open up the camps. We're very good at making noise. Jews are very good noisemakers. They're fantastic. They know how to make a lot of noise. And we complain, zelo fair, double standards, anti-Semitism, stupidity, hatred, you name it, all the words of the dictionary. You can go find all the words of the dictionary. Make a lot of noise. And you're supposed to. Hishtadlos. That's the way it's supposed to be. You have to be involved in hishtadlos. You have to be a hishtadlon. But you also have to recognize that we have no one to blame other than ourselves for our problems. All of our problems start off with a spiritual deficiency in ourselves. This week's parasha is about the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu starts off in the parasha telling them, I'm going to send you to the land, the Yosuru is Eretz Canaan. I want you to inspect, I want you to look deep into the land, I want you to investigate. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he used the word v'yasuru maybe 5 times. Shlach lecha anoshim v'yasuru es eretz kenan. Asher aninas lovnei Yisrael. V'yishlach ha'isa Moshe b'midbar paron al p'yashem kol Moshe v'roshay v'eila shemoysam. He goes through the names. And then it says v'yishlach Moshe l'sur to inspect es eretz kenan. And then he says again, he goes on further, Vayalu Vayasuru es haaretz. Okay, it says here, at least in the beginning, I just glanced over 3 times. It probably says it even more times. At the end of the parasha, when all the dust settles, after we're doomed, 40 years in the desert, and all the collateral damage, the mapilim, we go through the whole story, a lot of collateral damage, comes the antidote. And the antidote is tzitzis. Tzitzis is very much connected with Eretz Yisrael, you all know that. And that's why in the parasha of tzitzis it says the same word, V'loi sosuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem, asher atem zoinim achareihem. It's the same word. Everyone, all the Mefarshim say this. If the word that's used in regard, in reference to the Meraglim's V'yasuru, and Hashem at the end of the parasha is giving us tzitzis after all the dust settles, Hashem is saying this should never happen again. If you'll have tzitzis and you look at the tzitzis, Uri Isem Uzachartim is kol mitzvois Hashem v'asisim oisam. You look at the tcheles. Tcheles demel yam, yam demel rikia, rikia demel kisya kavod. You'll be filled with yiras shemayim. You'll never stray and be influenced to look at the wrong things or to look at even the right things for the wrong reason. You won't come to go look and to look at the land of Yosur with the wrong reason. When you look at Eretz Yisrael, you look at Eretz Yisrael as an Eretz Yisrael of Torah and Kedusha. The tzitzis is the antidote to the chait of the Meraglim. The Meraglim went to look at the land. They went to look at the land, looked for the wrong things. They were looking for entertainment. They were looking for a good life. They weren't looking for the spirituality in the land. And that's why they came back with a bad report. But if you'll go and you look at the land the same way you look at your tzitzis, you look at the land, get used to looking at things with a Torah perspective. The same way when you look at your tzitzis, what do you see when you look at the tzitzis? You see mitzvahs, es kol mitzvahs Hashem. You see the kisei hakavod. You see Yerushalayim. So now when you look at Eretz Yisrael, you look at Eretz Yisrael, you look for the spirituality of the land. Then you won't have this problem anymore. Now, let's go back to Baruch Sha'amar. We come to Baruch Sha'amar. We're very good at making noise. Every morning, what are we doing every morning? We say Baruch Sha'amar. We're turning on the Zoom camera and we're broadcasting in the United Nations to the entire world that all of you goyim, you're a bunch of rishayim, a bunch of hypocrites, you're anti-Semites, you're Isaac in BDS, and you're Isaac in this and that, and you're just tormenting us, and ze lo fair, you're no good. Look, it all goes back to Nebuchadnezzar and Bavel. They destroyed us. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. They destroyed us. And you're going to get what you deserve. You're going to get what you deserve. Just like Baruch Oymer V'Oyseh Goyzer Mekayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately destroyed Bavel. and punish them for the harm they've done to us, you'll get yours also. But at the same time, you make your declaration with chutzpah, good chutzpah, and you demand your rights in the United Nations and in the state, in the Senate, in all of your shtadlus. Don't forget to hold in your hand your tzitzis. When you complain that Bavel has exiled us, and they are the ones who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and pushed us out of the land. They pushed us out into Golos. You know something? You know who really pushed us into Golos? We did it to ourselves. It's true, there's a shtadlus. You have to go blame Bavel. But don't forget to hold in your hands the tzitzis. Because the tzitzis is going to remind you of the miraglim. V'loy sosudu achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. You know why we went into Golos? Because the miraglim said about Eretz Yisrael, we're not interested in this land. We don't want this land. We don't want it. You could have it. Palestinians, you could have it. Arab, you want to have it. America, you could have it. Britain, you want to have it. Turks, you could have it. That's what the miraglim said. That hate haunts us ad hayoyim hazeh. We are the ones who rejected the land. Not the Babylonians. They're not the one who threw us out. We threw ourselves. We planted the seeds that we should be thrown out of the land. And Hashem gave us the antidote that should never happen again, such a thing, by giving us the tzitzis, to look at the tzitzis, to look to practice, to look at something with a Torah hashkafa. So now when you look at Eretz Yisrael, you should look at it with a Torah hashkafa. We acknowledge we're the guilty people. We're the cause of our exile. And the tzitzis is Hashem's gift to us to repair the damage that we did to ourselves. So why then are we blaming Bavel? Because that's the way the world works. Bavel's Russia. Bavel Harasha. The Nazis are Rishoyim. There's no Rachmanis. There's no place of Rachmanis when you deal with Amalek, with the Babylonians, with Nebuchadnezzar, with Nazis. There's no Rachmanis. And you have to do every mashu of Ishtadlus to demand justice and to expose the hypocrites and the anti-Semites and all of our enemies. They have to be dealt with. Justice. But the same time you demand justice and you make the statement, Boruch Oimer V'yoseh, Boruch Goizer U'mikayim, hold in your hand the tzitzis. You also should not be a hypocrite. You also owe it to yourself to acknowledge you're also to blame for your problems. They're not the only ones to blame. The Babylonians are not the only ones to blame. We allowed it to happen. We didn't appreciate the land. We cried, Leil Tisha B'Av, we said, we don't want. We also abandoned the land. And Hashem has given us the gift of tzitzis to acknowledge, no, we really do want Eretz Yisrael. So the holding of the tzitzis is pashut. It's pashut. The reason why you hold the tzitzis is because you say the words, Baruch Oimer V'yoseh, Baruch Goizer U'mikayem. You hold the tzitzis to your heart. A Jew has to do hishtadlus to demand justice, but also has to acknowledge that the root of every tzara in history comes from our own deficiencies in our spirituality. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the tools to repair the damage, and we first have to take advantage of that before we can come and demand justice from our enemies in this world. Okay, so I think it's Pasha now with this idea.
This what we say, right, ברוך,
מרחם על הארץ, מרחם
על הבריאות, משלם שכר טוב לידי אב. ברוך הילה, זה כאן הרצח,
ארץ ישראל. Brings the, back the Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. Exactly. It's all now a reference to Eretz Yisrael.
That's why the Lo Sosuru is spelled like Lo Tor instead of with a Tama.
It connects, the mitzvah of tzitzis is directly related. Directly related.
It is a translation to explore, not to turn.
Right. That doesn't mean right. Exactly. Okay, that's one var. Let's now go to another var. Now I want to go to another var. I think once upon a time we said this var, but I want to just revisit this idea, because something occurred to me, which complements what we said, and it's very and it also is very relevant to what's going on in the world today. The spies come to Eretz Yisrael and they witness a beautiful land. They come across a beautiful land. And they come back, and before they begin their slander, they acknowledge that, you know, it's not so bad. It's pretty good, the land that Hashem promised to give to our forefathers. Let me read you the words, how they begin their statement. Their statement begins, Vayelchu, Vayisapru loy, Vayomru, Bonu, we have arrived, El Haaretz Asher Shilachtanu, that you have sent us, and you know something? It's pretty good. The Gam, Zovas, it flows, Cholov Udvash. Believe me, in Iraq, there's no Cholov Udvash. In Iran, there's no Cholov Udvash. In Eretz Yisrael, there's Cholov Udvash. It's a good place. Zovas cholav udvash hi v'zepiria. Look, the fruits, they're big. Okay, some say they're trying to say they're not. But let's learn very posh about Balabatish. Look, good stuff. It's a good land. And then they say one word. This one word speaks volumes. Ephes. Ephes. How do you translate the word ephes? A very loose. The Targum says the word lechod. Lechod. I don't know what that word means. Lechod obviously means whatever Ephes means. I don't know what that word means in the Targum. We have to study, figure out what that word means from the context, what it means. See where else in Tanakh he used the word lechod. But in English, I don't have an English translation in front of me, but I would say it means but. Okay, if you mean balabatish, but Ephes, but ki asa'am. Everything is very good, but there are problems. And the problems are great.
However.
If you take out all the English translations, I am certain you'll find many different varieties of the word but. However, whatever you take out of the thesaurus, you can have a long list of words that you can use to translate the word Ephes. But in any event, it means.
When they say Ephes is zero.
Oh, that's what I'm coming to. I'm coming to that one second. Okay.
I think I know.
So Ephes simply means, however, but there are beautiful, beautiful milos in the land, but there are problems. And the problems are greater than the advantages. The disadvantages far outnumber the advantages, and therefore we quit. We quit, we are not going into the land, it's just not worth it. It's very good, it's a nice land. But Ephes, however, ki as ha'am, ha'yoshe bo'aretz, ve'he'odim, bitzudois gedilos, ve'oi v'gam yilidi ahonak, amin ushom ha'amolek, yoshe b'aretz ha'nege amolek, and it goes on, there are all these problems. All right, fine. Let's now take a look a few psukim later, and see how Yoshua and Kolev respond. Yeshua and Kolev, Vayomru, and they say as follows, Vayomru el koladas bnei Yisrael lemar ha'oretz, asher avarnu vo lo sur satoiv ha'oretz me'od me'od. We disagree, we dissent. These 10 nesiim, they may say lashna, but we disagree, it's very good. Im chofetz banu Hashem, if Hashem wants, if Hashem has a desire in us, now look what he says now. exactly the same thing that was said by the spies. Eretz Asher Hi Zavas Cholov Udevash. Isn't that exactly what the spy said? Right before the spies began their complaint, the spy said, the Gam Zavas Cholov Udevash Hi Vizepirya. So Yeshua says exactly the same thing. Eretz Asher Hi. The difference. The spy said Gam, and Yeshua says He. That's a major difference, which is not the point that I want to focus on now, but that itself speaks volumes in when they describe it being a land that Zavas Chalav Udvash, is that the essence of the land? It was just a side feature. The spy said that's Gam. It's a side point. It's a side dish. Whereas Yeshua and Kalev said, no, Asher He. The Zavas Chalav Udvash is the essence of the land. But that's not the point I want to make. And then Yehoshua and Kalev say one word. Ach. What does ach mean? So here the Targum says a very familiar word. Biram. But. Biram, that's a very popular word. Biram, but. Bahashem al timroidu. Don't rebel. V'atem and you al tiru es am ha'aretz. Don't be afraid of all the complaints of the spies. Ki lachneinu heim. Piece of cake. It's like a walk in the park. It's like eating a piece of cake, cheesecake. We'll eat up these people like nothing. Sar tzila me'alehem v'ashem itanu al tiru'um. What in essence is the difference between Yehoshua v'Kalev's response and the response and the report of the spies? The difference is the spies said the word Ephes and Yehoshua v'Cholev said Ach. Both Yehoshua v'Cholev and the spies said the same thing. There are Milois and Chesroinois. They both acknowledged. They both are exactly the same. Okay, they may have expressed the Milos and Chesronis a bit differently, but they both pretty much said the same thing. They both expressed there being Milos and Chesronis. Okay, they both expressed the Milos. Yehoshua, the 10 spies said the Milos are Zovas Cholav Udvash, and the Chesronis are, they are mighty nations, they are mighty people, the cities are fortified. There is no way in the world we're going to be able to conquer this land. What did Yehoshua and Kalev say? The same thing. The land is Zavas Chalav Udvash, and it's true. There are mighty people over here that are guarding the land, and it's going to be a very difficult battle to succeed, but so what? Hashem will help us. Hashem Yazor. Hashem will help us. So they said the same thing. So what's then the difference? I'm not talking about the nuances of the different, this one said Gam, this one said He. What's the main difference between Yehoshua v'Cholev and the spies? They both presented the Milos versus the Chesronis. The difference is the word but. The spies said, differentiated between the Milos and the Chesronis with the word Ephes. Whereas Yehoshua v'Cholev separated the Milos and the Chesronis with the word Ach. That's the only difference. They both said exactly the same thing. We're not going to go look into the little nitty-gritty details now. They both laid out Milos Chesronis, Milos Chesronis. The line that separated the Milos from the Chesronis, the 10 spies, the word they selected, Ephes. Yehoshua v'Cholev, the word he selected was Ach. What's the difference between Ephes and Ach? Well, from the context, we can derive what modern Hebrew has taught us. I don't know where modern Hebrew got this from, but in modern Hebrew, Ephes means zero. Okay, I don't know where they got that from. I really don't know. Modern Hebrew is a study in and of itself. But modern Hebrew, Ephes means zero. Right? You want a telephone number. What's telephone number? Ephes means zero. Ach doesn't mean zero. It means but. What am I trying to say? The Meraglim, they acknowledge the Milos, but the rishus, the wickedness of the Meraglim was by saying the Milos are worth nothing. Nothing. You can throw all the Milos in the garbage, down the sewer, because we got one problem. We got a problem. We got a problem that the people there are very big. They're muscular. They're tough people. So therefore, because of this problem, you can take the Zav HaSchol V'Dvash and throw it out in the trash. The Zav HaSchol V'Dvash is Efes, is zero zilch. Yehoshua V'Cholev, they said, there are Milos and there are problems. But the problems, are they're very great, the problems. They're enormous. But the problems don't give you the right to take the Milos and throw the Milos in the garbage. The Milos are priceless. There are problems. Okay, we'll deal with the problems. The problems is not a trigger to take the Milos and destroy the Milos and to say, Ephes, who cares for these Milos? This parsha is playing out against the backdrop of Black Lives Matter. I'm not embarrassed to acknowledge I'm a racist. I'm not embarrassed. Black Lives Matter. What is the whole movement of Black Lives Matter? Ephes. Ephes. They come to a country, immigrants, they come from Africa, from a place where they had literally nothing, climbing trees to retrieve bananas with no clothing, slaves. They come to a country who has given them literally everything, everything you could want in this world. You know what people would give in this world? They would give their right arm to be a citizen of the United States of America. To have the benefits, the protection, the pride of living in the United States of America, they would literally give their right arm. And here you have a population in this country, 8% of the population have literally everything man could want, every conceivable bracha. Their standard of living is infinitely greater than Baron Rothschild. The miles they have, the advantages they have, what they have in this country. And because someone says boo to them, because in their minds they perceive that it's not perfect, that maybe that just because they commit a crime, they in their minds they think that the police officer doesn't smile to them when they're arrested for murder and rape and who knows what. The policeman didn't smile. So you know what they say? All the Milos of the country is Ephes, is zero. And we'll take this country and we'll destroy it. We'll take the country and gutter and destroy the country because you didn't smile at us when you arrested us for murder. Ephes. Ephes, everything that this country has done for us is Ephes keneged something that they perceive to be a chesed. And even if they're right, maybe they're right. Maybe there is discrimination. Maybe there is. Maybe there's some legitimacy to their complaint. Maybe. Let's not go into that. Let's say you're 100% right. So what? So what? It doesn't give... Yeah.
It's not only BLM. It's the entire left thinks this way about.
They're the same problem. Look at what the country did for them. Ein lachen ami. One thing at a time. We can't conquer Rome in one day. but just because there's a problem, maybe you're right. Just because you have to destroy the country with such hate and violence and venom, what kind of mahalach is this? You got a problem. Ach. Ach means we are grateful for the Milos. We bow before the flag. We worship the country. We worship the President of the United States who is so kind to us. And we have a problem. We have an issue. And there's a process of how you deal with issues. There are peaceful ways of dealing with issues. not to come out with hate and rage and fury and venom and crime. This is the Musa we learn from this week's parasha. This is the difference between the Meraglim and Yeshua V'Cholev. They both, read the Psukim, it's clear, they both present Mailois and Chisroinois. It's a Mailois, a land, Zovas, Cholev, Udvash, V'Zepiria. They both said that. Toiva Haaretz Moid Moid. Chisroinois, they both said the Chisroinois. There are mighty kings and warriors in Giboirim, and Al Derech HaTeva, there is no way in the world we can conquer this nation. That's what the Meraglim said, and that is what exactly what Yoshua V'Cholev also said. They said exactly the same thing. The difference is, how do you separate the two? Do you separate the two with the word Efes, or do you separate the two with the word Ach? The Meraglim had the chutzpah to say that because we have a problem, you can take all of the Milois and throw it out in the trash. It's Efes, it's worthless. Whereas Yeshua V'Cholev said, Chas V'Sholem, we are appreciative of every last bracha that Hashem has given us. The land is beautiful beyond a shadow of a doubt. And we have the greatest sense of Hakaras HaTov. We have problems. We have legitimate problems. Ach, the problems don't take away from the Mailois. Ach. That's the chilek. Efes versus Ach. The Musa Haskel is in our life. We all have milos. Every single person has in their life brocha ad belidai. Ad sheyivlu sifse secha miloimer dai. And we all have problems. No one came to this world for a free lunch. Everyone has issues. The question is, when you have an issue, do you take the issue and say, Efes? All the milos, Hashem, take it back, I don't care for this. Or when you have a problem in life, you say to Hashem, Ach, I appreciate the milos. I got a problem. I have a problem. I have to deal with it. I need help. But the problem doesn't take away from my Hakaras HaTov to you for all of the chesed that you've done with me. That's the musa that we take out of the Meraglim versus Yeshua V'Cholev. Okay, a few minutes, let me share with you another vart. This vart is a little bit off the beaten path.
They also said, Abach Hashem, Altim Rodu, don't rebel. They rebel against Hashem. Against
the rebel is part of the Efes. That's part of the same ideas of Efes. Don't be an Efes. Don't be an Efes person. Be an Ach person, not an Efes person. Okay, next idea. This idea is a little bit off the beaten path. The Meraglim come to Eretz Yisrael. This really triggered my, it's a half-baked var, but I think there's something very deep over here. The Meraglim come to Eretz Yisrael and they see giants. Giants. And the giants are called Nephilim. Very bizarre. The whole thing is a very bizarre concept. This thing of the Nephilim, they appear in the Chumash. In Parashas Bereishis, they arrive in the land, and it says, and who do they find in Chevron? They find their Visham Achimon, Sheshai, this Salmai, three people, three brothers. Who are they? Yilidei Ho'anok. They are the children, the Enoch of the giant. Giant? Who's this giant? All right, whoever he is, it's a giant. Then it talks about Chevron, okay, fine. Then when they come back, they fill in who are the giants? Who are these giants? These three people. When they come back and they tell Klal Yisrael, let me read the Psukim. They say, let me find it. Okay, let me find the exact pasuk. I want to find the word that it says the word nephilim. Let me just find the pasuk. They come back to Moshe. Okay, we come there. Amalek Yosef Aknani. Vayas Kolev Alonale. Okay, let me go for a little further.
No.
Pasuk. What pasuk? Lamed Gimel. Some are on the field, and they are not. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Okay, so part of the complaint of the Meraglim, when they come back, describing Sheshai Achiman, Sheshai V'Salmai, the Shomroinu Es HaNefilim. Now they describe Sheshai, Achiman, and those three brothers, those three people, they describe them. Who are these people? They're called the Nephilim. B'nei Anok Min HaNephilim. Ooh, Nephilim. Why are these three brothers called Nephilim? The word Nephilim means nofal, nofel, to fall. What does that mean? Rashi always answers all the questions. Lamed Gimel, Rashi says, Anokim. The word Nephilim is just a new word for giants. Why? Mibnei Sham Chazai. The Zayde of the Nephilim, his name was Sham Chazai. Who was Sham Chazai? Like a nice name. You ever go to a bris where they name the baby Sham Chazai? Never, but I never heard such a thing. Okay. Sham Chazai. And Vazoel. Shenoflu min Hashamayim. They fell out of the sky. What does that mean? Aliens. Right? Aliens. That's the only thing 2020 is missing. Aliens. We had it all this year. We had corona, we had riots, we had anti-Semitism. We had it all.
You want to hear what the Abravanel says the Philip means? That since they were the children of giants, when their normal human being mothers conceived them, by the time the womb couldn't hold them at 5 or 6 months in pregnancy, they fell out.
Exactly what I'm getting to. I'm coming to that in a moment. Okay. Exactly. Okay, but it's. I'm coming to that in a moment. But Aderech Pshat, Nephilim means aliens. They came, they came out. Yes. That's the only thing 2020 is missing. Rabbi Sai, don't worry. In August, aliens are coming. That will be a nice hashlama to the year. COVID, riots, anti Semitism, who knows what else. Aliens are on the way. August.
They're already here.
Okay, the Democrats. The Democrats, they're already here. The aliens already have arrived. Nephilim. So Rashi says, they're mamish aliens. Mamish, these are malachim, which came down to this world and got caught up with women. They got caught up, they saw the noshim were toivois. And these malachim, they married some noshim and they had children and they settled in this world. And these being that these, the fathers, are abnormal, so they had abnormal children. They were giants. Rashi says, Shamchai Vazel is a malochim. Shenavlu min Hashamayim b'mei David and b'dar enosh. Fine, okay. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says they fell out of the sky. These were people that were malochim. Rabbi Mayevsky quoted the Abarbanel. Abarbanel, I think it's not only the Abarbanel. There are others that say this as well. It says an incredible insight, and I want to build upon that. If there's any truth to this,
well quoted.
I don't know if there's any truth to this.
Most of the conventional I don't think that Rashi says this in Brachos.
What?
I don't think so.
The Nephilim? He does say these are Malochim. Yeah. Malochim that came out of Shemayim. Rashi there also says these are Malochim. These are Malochim, angels.
In any case, as I've said previously, those are not the predominant explanations. The Medrash said Shmuel mentioned is one of a number of other interpretations. Very few interpretations call them fallen angels, which I have a problem with.
Okay, fine, whatever it is. Rabbi Mayevsky mentioned the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says something interesting, and with this, you have to understand what it means, but the basic idea is it means nofal. Nofal means these people, for whatever reason, they're abnormal. Their genes are such that they grow into giants, incredibly massive giants that are beyond our understanding. Problem is, when these people are born, when they're conceived, when the father who has this genetic disorder, this genetic, whatever we will call it, whatever this issue is, when he impregnates a regular woman, let's say you have a person that has a gene that he will produce someone who's going to be 100 feet tall. And he gets married to a regular woman, a regular standard woman. She's 5'4", a regular woman. What happens when she gets pregnant and she conceives and the baby is developing? So ordinarily, how long does the baby develop? 9 months. But because the zera, the seed of the father, has a disorder where it's going to turn into a human being that's going to be 100 feet tall, what's going to happen? The baby is going to develop at an accelerated rate, at an abnormal rate in the mother's womb, and the mother is not going to be able to carry this child for 9 months. This child is on a trajectory to become 100 feet tall. That trajectory already begins in the mother's womb. So ordinarily, a regular father and mother, when they have a child, they conceive, the baby goes 9 months. The baby remains in the womb for 9 months. Tisha miyodea, tisha niyodea, tisha yarchileda. But if the father is a giant or has a gene that will produce a human being that's going to be 100 feet tall, and he marries a woman who is 5'4", who's an ordinary woman who doesn't have these type of genes, and the zera mixes, and the mother has to nurture and develop the child inside the mother's womb, inside the mother's womb, guess what? It's not going to remain there for 9 months. It's not going to last, because it's going to become too large or too abnormal, and it's going to fall out of the mother's womb prematurely. The Barbanel says that is why they're called Nephilim, Miloshoin Noifel. They fell out of their mother's womb prematurely. Ordinarily, a woman holds a child in her womb for 9 months. This child fell out of the mother's womb after 4 months, 5 months, 3 months. I don't know what the numbers are, but much, much earlier than it should have had it been a regular, healthy 9-month-old child. Okay, that's it. That's all it says in the Abarbanel and the Mefarshim. Now, what do I want with this? What am I trying to do with this Chazal? I'm trying to make the following suggestion chiddush. Klal Yisrael are a product of who? Who are we? Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Is that it? That's it? No, it's not. That's a very big mistake. We are a product of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. Don't deny them the credit they deserve. Klal Yisrael is a product of a family, a mother and a father. Sarah is an equal partner in the establishment of Klal Yisrael. Sarah said to Avraham Avinu, Goresh es ben ho'amo hazoz ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. Rivka was the one who's instrumental in making sure the brachos go to Yaakov and not Esav. Rachel and Leah were the ones, we always speak about this, were the ones who removed the influence of Lavan Harami from Klal Yisrael. Yaakov would have stuck it out with Lavan Harami, the damage Lavan Harami would have done Klal Yisrael. Arami Ovid Avi. Who's the one why Arami was not successful in being Ovid Avi? It's because Rachel and Leah said to Yaakov Avinu, he took him out to the sod and he said, what do we have from our father Lavan? Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. In Parash Vayetzid is a very long parasha with the conversation Yaakov has with his wives in the Sodeh. It's a critical, critical parasha in understanding the contribution of Rachel and Leah to Klal Yisrael's development. Klal Yisrael is a product of the Imois. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. We come into Eretz Yisrael, we bring into Eretz Yisrael, we bring the legacy of the Avos. In Eretz Yisrael, they are the Maris Machpelah, the Zugois, not just Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, and Rachel is Rachel and Kever Rachel. It's the makom of the Imahois, just like it's a makom of the Avois. The Imahois are the Ikeres HaBayis. Eretz Yisrael is the Bayis of Klal Yisrael. It's our bias. It's our makom. A bias needs a mother, the Ikeres Habayis, the Imohis, they are the Ikeres Habayis of Eretz Yisrael. A father has enormous influence on his son. Chazal say, a father is chayev to teach his son Torah. A father is chayev to teach his son Parnasa. A father is chayev to do on his son a bris mila. A father is chayev to do the pinyan aben. Everything of the chinuch of the mitzvahs of the hadracha is the father, but the mother is the one who is the home to the child for 9 months. She nurtured the child for 9 months. She is the makar of the child. She is the home that provides the bias, the security, the environment of the child. They come to Eretz Yisrael. You know who's in Eretz Yisrael? You know who's occupying Eretz Yisrael? Nephilim. You know what Nephilim are? They are human beings that don't have mothers. That's what they really are. Because by the time they were 3 months in the mother's stomach, they're already out. Nafal. They're Nafal. They fell out of the womb. It's not just physically. The Nephilim, the principle of the Nephilim is not just a physical reality. Oh, they have their genes are such that they're very, very big, so the mother can't house them, so they fall out. It's much deeper than that. There's always a parallel in the spiritual world versus the physical world. Just as after 3-4 months, they're out of their mother's womb, they're preemies, they're out because their mothers can't deal with them, it also reveals to us that the nature, the essence of these people are people that don't have a mother. To have a father. When you have a father and no mother, it's a dysfunctional person. It's a dysfunctional home. To have only a father and no mother. The essence of these people, they don't understand. The mother provides a degree of shmira. Well, look at the imohos. What was the main role of the imohos? Like I said before, they guarded their husbands. It's very hard to define, to put in words. I don't have the right words. But Sarah was responsible in rejecting, protecting Yitzchak from Yishmael. Goresh es ben ho'am hazos. Avraham didn't see eye to eye. Vayera hadover me'oid b'nei Avraham. And Hashem had to say to Avraham, Sarah's right. Kol asher toimar Sarah shema b'koyloh. Yitzchak wanted to give the brachas to Esav, not Yaakov. Who prevailed? Rivka. Rachel and Leah, they're the ones who got Yaakov out of Lavan's clutches. They went out to the field and he said, what am I going to do? They said, let's get out of here. It's time to go. Get out of here. Arami, you stay one more day. Arami Avidavi, he's going to influence you. He's going to destroy your life. The Noshim Tzidkaniyos, the Imohis, they provide a degree of Shemira. They contribute to the development of Klal Yisrael in a way that is beyond our understanding, beyond words, beyond our comprehension. The Nephilim have no Mokoim in Eretz Yisrael. The giants who are occupying the land, they don't belong there because Eretz Yisrael is a land that was promised to the Avos, to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Rachel and Leah. Hashem made a shvua to these people over and over again, to each one separately. They are complete shleimim. They have a bias. Nephilim, what are you doing here? You're missing half of your existence. You're just a wild man. A wild man without the softness, without the shmira, without the bina yisera of the mother. To shelter, to provide the complement and all that goes along with it in a proper bias. That is why the Nephilim have no place here. And that is Hashem's message. You have nothing to worry about. This is your land. If the land was occupied by another type of descendant that has a mother and a father, no, you know, that's a functional home. This is a dysfunctional society dealing with single fathers. Okay, and even today's society, they say a single mother, they say they're pretty good. They can do everything themselves. But I've never heard in the news, never, anything about a single father. A single father is a churban, impossible. With this idea, it also opens up a little bit of insight into, we're finishing off now, Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a machloikis in the Gemara, was Moshe Rabbeinu premature? Rashi in Chumash holds Moshe was a preemie. Moshe was born, was meant to be born after 9 months, but he was born after, the whole discussion was born after 6 months. And that's why they were able to hide him for Shloisha Yerachim, for 3 months in the house. Does that indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make it to Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is the makam of the Imohis and the Avais. Moshe Rabbeinu was born prematurely. Why? I don't know. It's machlokes in the Gemara. There are two opinions. One opinion in the Gemara, it's not true. Moshe was born 9 months. One opinion is he was born 6 months. But titzpineu shloisha yirachim, because they did not come checking for the neck for 3 more months. Does that indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu was a match for the Nephilim? Moshe Rabbeinu had an element in him that was very similar to the Nephilim. He was also nofal from the Rechem Imo prematurely and was absent in his formation the 3 months of being with his mother. Okay, you know, that today, obviously, we're living Ixed the Mashiach and Skadnu Hadaris. Don't think I'm saying that a preemie is any different. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. Okay, you know that I don't mean that. But we're talking about the time of the Avos. The 3 months you spend in your mother's womb makes a difference in who you are. Okay, we're dealing over here with Dvar Ma'im Din Beruma Shalom. It's not for nothing in the Haggadah. At the end of the Haggadah, we say, Tisha mi yodea. Tisha ani yodea. Tisha yarche leida. Klal Yisrael is a product of a mother. Not just a mother, premature, the full shleimus of the imahos. They are shleisha, it's the shleimus. Eretz Yisrael was occupied by monsters. You know why they were monsters? Because they were all products of single fathers. The mother, they were nofal from the mother. They had no connection to a mother, only a father. Eretz Yisrael is the land of the Avos and the Imohis, and it's miyuchid for Klal Yisrael, which has that shleimus that comes together. All right, everybody, have a wonderful Shabbos. We'll stop here. Be well. Shabbat Shalom. Umivarach.
Shabbat Shalom.
And we have this is Shabbos Mevorchim, the Shabbos. Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Tammuz.
Hey, good Shabbos, everybody.
Good Shabbos, be well.
Levine, I just sent you a text. Okay.
Okay.